liberation. So that level, that at that stage when he became Arya Bodhisattva, Arahat Bodhisattva, Arya Bodhisattva, who destroyed, the foe is the enemy destroyer, the ignorance, not the inner enemy, the real enemy, ignorance, or totally destroy that, remove, totally remove that. Which is the same achievement of the Arahat. So the Arahat, in the Arahat, with regard to the Arahat, or the Shravaka, you know, if you want to call it Nayana, I don't know. They only they do the same, the five path, and the nine and the eight levels, something like eight levels, which is the level of approaching and abiding. Approaching and abiding, you know, you have the three mental. With regard to the Shravaka, which may, some who study the Theravada among you may have heard, are familiar with these terms. Three mental, once returner, non returner, and Arahat. Yeah? There are four, but each first you have, you know, approaching the stream, approaching the level of stream enter and abiding that, then it is approaching the level of once return and abiding that, the approaching the level of no more return and so forth, you know, eight. So the when you become Arahat, you know, Arya Bodhisattva is the same realization as the Arahat. But in order to achieve Buddhahood, in order to achieve Buddhahood and remove, you know, everything, not simply the obstacle to liberation, but the very thing, you know, the very thing that obstructs to see simultaneously all phenomena, you know, and therefore to really be effective, you know, in helping every single living being. One is to remove the so-called obstacle to omniscience. So the obstacle that we, yes, that we obstruct, that which prevents to see simultaneously everything. Or that which, yeah, is to remove this so-called obstacle to omniscience. And so the obstacle to omniscience is removed from the second part to the eighth ground, 9, 10. So from the first ground to the seventh ground is called, this I call impure ground. They are called impure ground simply because one has not achieved yet Buddhahood. Then from the eighth ground onward, again one divides. So with regard to the obstacle to omniscience, first in the second part of the eighth ground, one removes the gross obstacle to omniscience. In the ninth ground, one removes the middling obstacle to omniscience. Then in the first part of the tenth ground, one removes the gross, small obstacle to omniscience. And in the last part of the tenth ground, when finally the Bodhisattva enter into the so-called Vajra-like samadhi, the Bodhisattva enter in the so-called Vajra-like samadhi, and that is the moment just before ceasing to become a sentient being. You know? When he enters into the so-called Vajra-like samadhi, in order to remove the subtle, small obstacle to omniscience, the soul is seen eventually to be a sentient being. So it's a Buddha. So it's not anymore a sentient being, but it's a Buddha. It's a Buddha. So this is the final, you know, the final. So when you achieve Buddhahood, so now this is the presentation of the grounds and paths of the achievement of Buddhahood in accordance with the perfection vehicle. Perfection vehicle, the so-called the non-tantric vehicle, let's say. And now with regard to Buddhahood, there are two different opinions or presentations. One is the tantric presentation and the non-tantric presentation of the perfection vehicle presentation. Which, by the way, nowadays, in the Tibetan tradition, no one really practices in accordance to the perfection vehicles. In the sense, Buddhahood is really practiced and achieved in the Tibetan tradition of Tantra. Yeah, is practiced in accordance to Tantra. And I wonder if ever in India, the great, if ever in India they ever practice in accordance to the perfection vehicle. In the sense, because the perfection vehicle, the Tantra, if you talk about, if you look at the Prajna Paramita, no, which is the perfection vehicle, and the Tantra, they really arose at the same time, basically, almost at the same time. So it is, it looks like as if there is the presentation of this, a way of achieving Buddha rule in accordance to the sutra or the perfection vehicle, that maybe these in the past, but yeah, in the past, like eons. But historically, if we look at the great Pratip, the Gesarala, the Nagarjuna, the Chandrakirti, the great Indian Pandit, both practice. It's not that Asanga and so forth, it's not that in the Mahayana tradition, even practicing in India, you don't really find, the teacher, the person who practice perfection vehicle and not Tantra. If they practice patient, if they practice perfection vehicle, they also practice Tantra. You know? Like Arjuna, it presents in accordance to the perfection vehicle, like in the precious garland, also, you know, in the commentary with Samadhi and so forth. And Chantideva the same, and Chantideva the same, you wonder whether or not you really practice in accordance with the perfection vehicle, except there is a path to achieve Buddhahood in accordance with the perfection vehicle, which the historical Buddha did. So the historical Buddha practiced, you know, in accordance to the perfection vehicle. Well, of course, but at the very last moment, he too had to enter the tantric path. So whether you practice right from the beginning or whether you do at the very end, in accordance to Tantra, in reality you cannot achieve Buddha only relying on the preparation vehicle. You have to practice the tantric path. And why that? And that is really long, you know. Then one is to go to the path and ground of the Tantra. But in accordance to the Tantra, you see that in reality, the Buddha's body, and that is the crucial thing. We talk about emptiness and enlightenment, awakening. Buddha body means awakening. That is enlightenment. And therefore, it's related to the mind. We're talking about the mind, no? Awakening, the mind that is awakened. But Buddha is not just about mind, it's all about body too. It is in the Tantra that we have these to take this into account. I mean, the body, whether it is gross or subtle. So, the so called Buddha body, it is true, it is so called the Rupakaya, it's true the Rupakaya, true the Buddha body that one fulfills. You know, the purpose of others. The purpose for oneself, it is fulfilled. Let's say the purpose of oneself, one can fulfill in the perfection vehicle. When you realize, you know, emptiness directly, when you realize emptiness, you fulfill the purpose for oneself. But the actual purpose for others, to actually liberate others, you know, it is through the achievement of the Rupakaya, the Buddha's body, the form body. And that is achieved only in accordance to Tantra. Because in accordance to the Sutra, it is said that to achieve the so-called, the practice of generosity, the practice of morality, the practice of patience, and so forth, they lead to Buddhahood, yeah? They do lead to Buddhahood, but in reality they do not lead to the body of a Buddha, so two different things. So, the perfection vehicle, the various methods and practices the Bodhisattva does, you know, engaging the Bodhisattva engage in the various practices of Buddhahood, they do lead to Buddhahood, but they don't lead to the body of a Buddha, the body of a Buddha. In the sense, they lead there, you need them, without them you cannot achieve Buddhahood. But to achieve the body of Buddha is something different. So, therefore, to achieve the body of a Buddha, one is to create the condition, the causes that are in accordance with that result. Mm-hmm. So one is create the cause and condition that are in accordance with that cause, the Buddha, with that result, the Buddha's body. And so that, you know, from the, that's why from Tantra, from the very beginning, one practice Tantra, from the very beginning one arrives, visualize oneself as the deity, Buddha's body. From the very beginning one familiarizes oneself as Buddha's body. And then through a certain process anyway, eventually one achieves that. But any, that is thing, anyway, that is the debate within the discussion. And according to Tantra, Buddha, the form, the Buddha's body can achieve only with that, with Tantra. It's not achievable with Sutra. So anyway, that's a very short part and ground. Anyway, I don't know where I think it's probably not to teach the class now. But well, it gives you maybe some presentation of, you know, that it's some how one can see one achieve So anyway, Rinpoche will be teaching, you know, in the next few days, this Kadampa teachings. The Kadampa teachings, which are very much, as I said, the core. You know, we have heard many times, you know, the mind training. So it's really the soul, mind training teaching. And the mind training teachings is really, the Bodhisattva path. So the mind training teaching is really for the Bodhisattva. But if one look at the philosophy of the mind training, the psychology of mind training, can be also very, very useful for ordinary people, ordinary person like us. Even though it is difficult to practice, but if we look at, as I say, the philosophy, the psychology of it, you can simply by thinking about, you know, it can be extremely beneficial. For example, and then I finish. The practice of, you know, in the mind training teaching, there is the practice of toning, taking and giving, taking and giving. Is taking upon oneself, you know, taking upon oneself the suffering of others as a way to eliminate, destroy the selfishness, you know. Taking upon oneself the suffering of others, you know. But of course, you don't start straight away. There is a gradual path, you know. There is a gradual path. But it is based on something that we can understand. You know, taking upon ourselves the suffering of others, it is based on the fact that if we could, we would. You know? So if we could, for example, if your mother is sick, if the person to whom you love is very sick, if you could, would you? Taking upon yourself his or her suffering? You know, if whomever in your family is sick, and you want maybe not all, then you know, afraid of maybe 10% or 20%, bit by bit. So if we could, would we? We would. Yes or no? Yes. So if and therefore now, in what sense it's helpful for us? Because simply thinking that if I could, I would take upon myself the suffering of my mother, just the thought makes me happy. Isn't it? Just the thought, even though in reality you can't take upon yourself the suffering of the person you love, but the fact that if you could, you would, just the thought, it makes you happy. You know, if you try, it makes you happy. And so, that's why thought transformation, you know, thought transformation is as a mental thing. So even though we may not be able to live in reality, but this is probably, it can also be very beneficial. Yes. And so I think we'll stop it here. And one other thing also, Rinpoche asked, so after dinner, at 7, what about 7:30? 7:30 is okay? Yeah. You might be staying, yeah? You are maybe probably sick. After 7:30, so you ask to do some meditation on loving kindness, a little bit meditation on Vajrasattva, and then very short. little bit on loving kindness, a little bit on Radha Sattva, a little bit on rejoicing and meditation. So we do that the same time. Thank you. Oh, sorry, I'm getting medicated in here. So we dedicated me. So for Rinpoche is quick recovering, because Rinpoche is not well. So, and it is, we should think, it is extremely, it is effective, beneficial. It does work. You know, dedicating the merit, that whatever merit is accumulated to listening and teaching, we dedicate for the quick recovering of Rinpoche. So we feel, we think, we imagine that, you know, all the merit that we have accumulated is gathered in our heart in the aspect of white radiant light, and it leaves our heart and it goes and sinks into the Rinpoche's heart. So releasing completely from the whatever manifesting, you know, is coming from.